Bubble tip anemone is probably one of the most gorgeous anemones, really. One caution I would say with these specifically is they're going to move until they're happy. Right. So carpet anemones, they can tend to be more on the expensive side. And I've seen lots of stories and Instagram posts about how people lose a purple tang or just some sort of fish to these.
What's up, reef fanatics? Welcome to another episode of the Coral Reef Talk podcast. And today, Levi, we're talking about anemones.
Yes, we are.
Yes. So we're going to be talking about like anemones that we would recommend that you keep in your aquarium. Maybe some that are a little bit iffy, and then go through some of those pest anemones that pop up here and there. So, man, I've just been feeling it all week with this skateboarding injury. So
I can imagine.
Tank maintenance has been hard to get to or hard to force myself to do. The tank does need a water change. So that's where I'm at with the 125. Maybe clean up the protein skimmer a little bit, you know, clean up the glass, throw some do a water change, fix it up. But how are your tanks doing?
They're doing really well, actually. I just did water changes on all of them yesterday. And then I actually did quite a bit, like I did about 50% on the Caribbean tank. So it was a big water change, bigger than normal. But I just felt like it needed it, you know, just kind of just glancing at the tank. I'm like, it's time for a good refresh. So yeah. Gave it a good refresh. There's definitely a little bit more bio load in there than there used to be. So assisting the algae scrubber and taking some of that out, making it a little easier on the algae scrubber, and just removing some extra excess nutrients. You know, tank looks amazing right now. So
awesome.
Super excited.
That's always a good feeling when the tank is looking amazing. Mm-hmm. We just added a couple fish to our 10-gallon tanks.
Sweet.
So we threw in a tomato clownfish in one and then a blue damselfish in the other one.
Nice.
So yeah, they're looking pretty cool. They're coming along.
And, awesome.
The kids are loving it. They got to pick out the fish. So
sweet.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, today we're talking about anemones, and it's a big topic. I feel like it's a big or a highly researched topic, especially when people are looking into, okay, I can keep fish in my aquarium. I can keep corals in my aquarium. Can I keep anemones? Can I keep anemones with coral? What fish are good to have with anemones in the tank? If I put anemones in my tank, are they just going to eat the fish? Like, so I feel like it's a highly searched topic. So hopefully we can provide some guidance today and talk about a couple different anemones that are really cool. There's some really awesome anemones out there, and just talk about like maybe how compatible they are within the reef aquarium or within certain saltwater tanks.
Absolutely. Yeah, so let's dive in here. Just a briefing on anemones. You know, anemones are organisms similar to even like zoanthids and corals themselves. It's pretty much just one giant polyp, pretty much. And they host, you know, shrimps, anemones, clownfish, crabs, a couple other different organisms. Use them for protection because obviously they have stinging nematocysts. They're also closely related to jellyfish in that manner. Oh yeah, they're just super unique, and it's something to put in your tank, you know, that can definitely be that wow factor. But there is a few cautionary aspects to these that come along with purchasing anemones for your reef tank. So we're going to kind of break that down and kind of go over just a few anemone species that we often see in the hobby and kind of just break them down into different little segments and share a little bit about each one. So
yeah, and so which anemone do you want to start with?
Let's do the most common one that you probably see in the hobby, the bubble tip.
All right.
So bubble tip anemone is probably one of the most gorgeous anemones, really, as far as blue light tanks, especially, because you can get them in almost any color you can think of, depending on price. I've seen bright yellow ones, just like this one. This looks like a little Hawaiian punch or something. Like, there's so many different names for all these anemones now. It's crazy. Rose, greens, purples. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of cool colors. And they're one of the more easy anemones, you know, to maintain. They're pretty hardy, especially now that they've actually been aquacultured and they've been grown in captivity for so long. So they can be a good, you know, first anemone choice, especially if you have a tank that's more dominated with blue light, because you're going to be able to appreciate it more than some of these other anemones that we're going to mention. But yeah, perk to this, it's relatively easy to keep. I still wouldn't add them, you know, right away to your tank. I would wait a few months, let your tank establish, see how some of your corals are doing, if they're doing good and growing out. Maybe throw in a cheap bubble tip and see how it goes. One caution I would say with these specifically is they're going to move until they're happy. Mm-hmm. They're going to move around the tank and find the spot that has good flow for them and just write them on the light. So just be cautious with that. And
yeah,
some people even, like, you know, cycle their tank without anything in it and throw some fish in there and put the anemone in there a few months down the road without any coral, just to kind of see where the anemone will settle, especially if you're really big into anemones. But if you do already have corals in your tank, you're just going to have to accept the fact that it's probably going to end up walking over some of your corals. I've had some sit in the same spot for a year, and then all of a sudden they decide to move. And sometimes they do it in the middle of the night. You wake up the next morning and your bubble tip's on the opposite side of the tank. So it's no fun, but yep, they are super cool anemones and they're relatively easy to care for.
Yeah, they definitely are. And they are some of the more easier anemones to keep. And like you were mentioning, it's what I recommend to people as well, is if you can keep coral in your tank, then your tank's probably ready for anemones. In my opinion, you don't want to just throw it in there right off the bat, right? You want to get through the cycle. You want to make sure you're doing well with corals, with whatever you're keeping in your tank. Make sure you have an understanding of some of your tank parameters and stuff like that before you go throwing anemones in your tank. But another key factor with, like, bubble tip anemones, well, with any anemone really, is they like intense light.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure you have the light that is, if it's good enough to keep coral, then it's probably good enough to keep an anemone. Bubble tip anemones, they like to attach their foot to the rock work, and they're going to burrow that foot down and around. So once they lock in, once they find a spot in your tank that they're happy with the water flow, more than likely they're going to stay there for a while. But like you said, after a year, it decided to move and maybe something changed in your tank. I know for me, I've had anemones hang out in the same spot of my reef tank for like 3 years plus, and then I would move a pump or something, or the water flow would change, and then they just started to move, or they would split and multiply, and then I would wake up and find like two anemones on the left side of the tank, one on the glass, getting like really close to my circulation pump and making me kind of sweat a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, bubble tip anemones are great, and they're fairly common in the hobby. Super popular and pretty easy to keep.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, they can be pretty cheap depending on what ones you're looking for. You know, like the simple green bubble tip probably run you like anywhere from 30 to like 75 bucks, right in that range, maybe a little more, maybe even a little less. But yeah, once you start getting into like the Colorado Sunburst and like the Hawaiian Punch and all these other named bubble tips, you're definitely going to run into some more pricey.
If it's got a fancy name, it's going to be expensive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come on.
So this is the long tunnel coral anemone. It's quite common to see in the hobby, although I don't necessarily think it should be kept all that greatly because they don't do the greatest long term. And I'm not speaking for everyone. Some people have kept them pretty well. Yeah. Me personally, just in my experience with them and seeing other people's experience with them, they're not the easiest to keep. They're super like high to moderate light, and they're just not the hardiest anemone. Compared to like, you know, your bubble tips, they don't tend to split as much either. They're an awkward anemone, I want to say. Like, they're just strange, and they're definitely more challenging to keep than any other anemone that I've kept personally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not opposed to people like trying it out and seeing how it does in their tank, but I would just wouldn't recommend this as your first anemone, you know, to go grab, because a lot of Petcos and stuff carry these, and I see people buying them all the time, and I'm just, it makes my head spin a little bit. But, and I'm sure it can be done. I'm not saying it can't be, but I've never really talked to anyone who have had this anemone for more than a few years. So, yeah, that's just my personal opinion on them. But they're similar to bubble tips. I mean, they just got elongated tentacles. They don't really bubble up like your bubble tip anemone would. And they are cool looking. They come in a bunch of different colors, green, purple. We even get like red ones in at work sometimes, and some rainbow ones that are pretty cool. But yeah, I've just not had the greatest success with these, and I know quite a few people that haven't either. So I haven't really kept one since. But
now, I will say, like, with bubble tip anemones or long tentacle anemones, if you wait long enough, chances are your bubble tip is probably going to deflate a little bit, and it might end up just looking like a long tentacle anemone. So
exactly.
I've had plenty of comments on my anemones like, hey, are those long tentacle anemones? No, they're bubble tips. But after a while, for whatever reason, bubble tips can deflate, you lose that bulb. And I mean, they're still very pretty, still awesome to have in your tank. But yeah, how do you feel about when you introduce an anemone to your reef tank, and let's say you put it on a rock, and then you notice it move later on in the day, and it's underneath the rock, or it's gone or disappeared, like you lost track of it. Are you in the school of thought where you just let it do its thing, or do you move the rock work, try to find it because of the lighting? What's your recommendation there?
So especially with bubble tips and stuff, I mean, if they're moving around, they should be fine, you know, especially if they disappear for more than a couple days, and I definitely think you should be worried, because if it did die, you're definitely going to want to get it out of your tank.
Yeah, and you'll notice it start to like shrivel up and shrink sometimes, and they get like super small, and by then it's pretty much gone, especially if you see pieces like, I don't know, they get like really white and they kind of like start floating away like little pieces, then yeah, you want to get that thing out. But Levi, do you know about our sponsor, Printed Reef?
Yes, I do.
Printed Reef makes incredible 3D printed products out of 100% reef safe PETG plastic, like this right here. This is a bristle worm trap. You can put that in there to help attract bristle worms to it. You can get those things out of your tank if you want to, or if you have some scolemia, some scullies, you got a scully stand right here.
Awesome. So
they just make awesome, unique products. I mean, what do you think about Printed Reef?
Yeah, Printed Reef is pretty amazing. I got a couple other products I use, especially like for like the Gorgonians. Like I like to, you know, stick them in the sand or mount them on rocks. But they have certain mounts, you know, where you can just mount it to it, and it helps hold it up in the sand. And I mean, I love them. They have a lot of different products too, and they're amazing.
Yeah, so head on over to printedreef.com. And if you're a subscriber to the Coral Reef Talk, you can save 10% at printedreef.com/thecoralreeftalk. Just use the code thecoralreeftalk at checkout. Cool. And then next one we have here,
Seabase.
The Seabase.
So this is one of my personal favorite anemones. It's not the most colorful, especially for most of the people that have like a blue lit tank.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, my tanks are white most of the time, and I enjoy a good sea bay anemone. They're relatively easy to get pretty much any wild clownfish to host in pretty quickly. I've always wanted to, you know, set up another tank with like a sea bay anemone and some like pink skunk clowns. I just think that'd be really cool. But these anemones specifically, most of the time you're going to find them, they like to be in the sand. They'll bury their foot and usually attach to the bottom of your tank. Then they spread out kind of like a pizza over the sand. It's pretty cool. They get pretty big. Even if you purchase them and they're relatively small, they'll open up to a pretty large size. Because, I don't know, I just, every experience I've had with these anemones, they love the sand more than anything. They don't really attach to the rock. I'm not sure why, and I'm not entirely sure where exactly they're collected specifically, but I'm guessing it's the sandbed. Because every time I see, you know, some footage of them, like being filmed in the wild, you know, you see the sea bay on the sand with some cool clownfish. But yeah, these are really hardy in my experience too. Back in the day, this is one of the first anemones I ever kept, and I put it in the tank like the second day. And this is before I really knew much of anything.
Okay. All right.
But it lived and it did extremely well.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was not the greatest caretaker at that time.
Yeah. At least my experience is you see that sea bay anemones are a little more challenging to keep than like a bubble tip or a long tentacle. But that's cool that it did really well for you, especially after just a couple of days you threw one of these in there.
Yeah, I've never had any issues, and I've kept quite a few of these specimens.
Nice.
But, I mean, it could depend on the tank technically too, and that's really with any of these anemones. But yeah, they're different. They're unique. And if you got a well-established tank and you want to try something different and you don't have an anemone yet, try a seabay if you want, you know. Try something different. They don't really have much of any color, though, so just keep that in mind. Especially if you have, like, a reef tank where you're keeping corals that look really good with blue light, maybe steer away and try a bubble tip or something more colorful than these.
I would say so far, all the anemones that we've talked about, you can try your hand at getting some clownfish to live in them, right? Like, these will look really cool with the skunk clownfish. I believe Mark from Me Loves Reef, he added one in. He had like an acrylic tube that he introduced his skunk clownfish in, and it was just cool to see. He directed them like right to the sea bay anemone, and
nice,
they loved it. And he had like five of them or so, I believe, in there. And it was just really cool to see. But yeah, I love skunk clownfish. I got two in my bubble tip anemones right now, and they're doing great.
Awesome.
All right. So this next one may be different to some people out there. What are we looking at here, and how common is this in the hobby?
So they used to be imported quite a bit from Haiti. These are curlicue anemones. Back in the day, they were probably more common than they are now when people had just pretty much white light, T5s, metal halides, you know. Mm-hmm. But these are pretty much giant aptasias. if I can explain it that way, that's probably the best way to explain it. But yeah, a lot of time in the wild, you're going to see like Peterson cleaner shrimp. Like you can kind of see the shrimp in the bottom right here. They host in these anemones, and you get a couple other species of shrimp that do as well. There's nothing really specific about these anemones that sticks out. Like it's really amazing. But other than that, they're really hardy. They're almost impossible to kill. They don't grow as fast as Aptasias because I have one in my Caribbean tank and one in my macroalgae tank, but it literally looks like a giant Aptasia.
Really?
I'd have to show you if you come over here soon. But yeah, you don't see these too often in the hobby anymore. I see one here pop up here and there, especially through work. We get them in quite frequently. But yeah, they're different, and I definitely probably wouldn't put this in like your normal reef tank.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you're looking for something different and, you know, got a small tank, you know, maybe try something like this, throw in some shrimp, sexy shrimp even makes for a cool, fun tank.
Awesome. Very cool.
Right here, we have a Ritteri anemone. Not the easiest to keep at all. These are probably one of the most challenging anemones to keep. Second to the fact that they can get absolutely massive. We've gotten some in at work before that I kid you not, like almost a couple feet across. Like they're huge. They're gorgeous, but they are ginormous. And they don't tend to do very well in aquariums, and I'm not entirely sure why that is. It may be simply because they don't have enough space, because a lot of people don't even have tanks that would be big enough for these. The only time I really see these do really well is like at like aquariums and stuff. They have ginormous tanks. Ritteri anemone has lots of room, lots of flow, good natural sunlight most of the time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you don't see these too often for sure.
Another name for it is the magnificent anemone, right?
Yes.
Is the really huge. I think I've seen it in like a 700-gallon tank or even bigger.
Like one of the most common anemones really on most reefs is going to be the magnificent anemone or Ritteri. And like they get so big, like you get like a whole harem of clownfish that are hanging out in them most of the time. And that's what attracts the attention of the divers, you know, all the clownfish hanging out in it. But yeah, they're super pretty, and they're imported all the time, and we get a lot of people to buy them, but I'm just like not a fan really of bringing them in unless like a person is actually going to be able to take care of the needs that this anemone has.
Yeah, for sure. This is like one of those expert only, like difficult, challenging anemones to keep, but they do definitely come in awesome colors. I mean, you got blues and greens and like purplish hues and stuff and orange, and it's really cool. But yeah, definitely strong lighting, strong water flow for these guys. So this one, we're saying we're not recommending this for like the average reefer or for someone with small tanks. You need a large tank or really big aquarium for this one. So the next one, these are awesome too. These come in amazing colors, dude.
Yeah, so this is a rock flower anemone. Definitely probably one of my favorite little anemones. You're not going to get clownfish to host in them, but I mean, if you're just looking for a cool little anemone to add like to your nano tank or even to your big reef tank, just to add some really cool colors, this is definitely your option. As far as colors go, they can come in literally any color you can think of, any pattern. They're crazy. They're really cool. They can get quite big. I've seen a couple and I've kept a couple, you know, to get to the size of a small baseball. But yeah, they're just, all they're going to do is pretty much add some really unique color to your tank. Like this one right here on the screen is yellow and orange. Mm-hmm. Super cool. And they're different. You can, usually a lot of people that have like a super small tank use these specifically for like sexy shrimp and a few other species of shrimps. But yeah, super cool. They're relatively small. They don't get very big, and they're super easy to keep. And they're going to add a lot of color to your reef tank. So if you're just looking, you know, to add an anemone to your tank that's not going to, you know, walk all over everything, even if, you know, you'd like something that hosts clownfish, but you can't really do that because you're worried it's going to kill all your corals and such, this is definitely your option. You know, throw this in there. It's not going to host your clownfish, but it's still going to look really cool.
Yeah, and it's not super big either. They're relatively small, but the colors are, you can get these like any coral convention or show I've been to. There's like a basket of these guys, tons of colors to choose from, and they're relatively inexpensive. I'm sure there's super pricey ones out there, but I think they're pretty well priced. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I'd say like I've seen them all the like they're super ugly ones for like 10, 15 bucks all the way, like 30 to like 75 for the regular. Anemones. And then you see some really nice ones come through the doors that are going to run you like a couple $100, probably like this one right here that we're staring at.
Yeah,
but probably. Yeah, just something cool, something different. It comes from the Caribbean. Just something unique and different to add to your tank that's going to add a lot of color. This is another one you might see quite often. It's relatively easy to keep, actually. They're pretty much filter feeders. They're going to feed off organic matter floating through your system. And they come in different colors as well. You can get, like, purple, the dark jet black ones. Most of them have, like, this bright green center. If you have blue lights, you can see it a lot better. But yeah, a lot of the ones you see in the hobby are like bright orange with the green center, like you see right here. The only thing that really is going to like live in them is going to be like anemone shrimps, like sexy shrimp, and even some like little Peterson anemone shrimp.
Yeah, you're not going to get a clownfish to mess with a tube anemone. So,
You're going to want to place this on like the lower level. They're actually like not really photosynthetic, so they're going to kind of just filter feed. But yeah, they're super unique, super cool. They can get very big though. Once they find their spot and are in the flow, their tentacles can reach around and sting things pretty rapidly. Yeah. I've seen some in my buddy's tank that we just visited today. He had an anemone that was, you know, it gets pretty big and it can definitely sting some things. So yeah, just keep that in mind. And they do move. So just keep that in mind as well. They'll move until they're happy.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like a lot of people look towards getting anemones because they want to have that clownfish interaction with their anemones. There are some that you're just not going to get that, like the tube anemone or like the rock flower or some of the other ones that we've mentioned. But I'm not a huge fan of the Condylactis. This is a Condylactis anemone. What about you?
Not a big fan.
Yeah. And the reason why I'm not a big fan is, one, while they're super inexpensive to purchase, you're not really going to get a clownfish to mess with these guys that I've seen. And I don't know. I mean, there's just something about they're not super colorful. And I don't think they do too well. I mean, maybe some people do have good luck with them, but they're just not an anemone, in my opinion, that you would want like in your reef tank.
Yeah. So these specifically, you know, I see them when I'm down in like the Florida Keys and stuff. They're going to be in your like grass flats, really shallow water, super bright light. And they're sitting half the time in almost stagnant water. Like the water's not moving very fast and they're just wide open sitting there. Sometimes they have like an anemone shrimp in them, but you got to understand the fact that like, you can see in threads and on like, you know, reef to reef and all that sort of stuff that some people say, oh yeah, like there's a chance that it'll host clownfish. And I mean, I've seen videos and stuff of like maroon clowns and Clarkie and anemone fish, you know, living in these, not entirely sure how, you know, real those were, especially with all the AI and stuff that we have today. These anemones come from a totally separate part of the world than what clownfish do. These come from the Caribbean on the Atlantic Ocean, not even close to where any anemone fish are going to be living. So yeah, they're a completely different area. And you know, they're not even that pretty. They're super cheap, and a lot of the times they end up being the first anemone that most people end up adding to their tank, unfortunately. A lot of times they don't last very well because, like I said, they're in shallow water, lower flow, and they like the super bright light. And I mean, especially if they're like some of the first organisms added to a tank, they're not going to do that well. And they're going to sting everything because they're constantly going to be moving until they're happy. And
yeah,
a reef tank really isn't built for these, to be honest with you.
Right. Yeah, I agree. It's definitely a headache for someone who's trying to try their hand at anemones, and they go into their fish store and they see this for like $8 or something. They're like, oh, it's pretty cheap. I'll give it a try. And then just it doesn't work out for them, where you can get like a bubble tip for like $40 or something. That's going to it's going to do way better. It looks way better. And you can get those clownfish to enjoy it. So
yeah, the only way I'd keep a Condylactis anemone is if you had a tank specifically set up for them.
Yeah.
And maybe you're going to do like some shrimps and stuff. I mean, that's the only way that I would keep them. But I mean, if you're going for color and stuff, rock flowers are a lot cooler looking, in my opinion. So I'm really not even sure why Condylactis are imported. I mean, it may be because they're just so cheap and abundant.
Mm-hmm.
But it just gives people the wrong impressions, especially if you're first getting the hobby. You get this anemone and it dies and just causes more havoc for you. So
yeah, for sure. I think it took me like 3 or 4 years before I even got an anemone for my aquarium. But yeah, I would see this all the time and I'm like, nah, I don't think I want this.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just not a huge fan of the way it looks compared to a bubble tip. I was like, I'll save up my money and get a bubble tip.
Right.
But yeah, this next anemone here that we're going to talk about is, I think they're really cool. Carpet anemones are pretty awesome. And they come in multiple different colors. I've seen blue ones. There's green ones. There's like red ones out there. But they are a little more tricky or more difficult to keep than like a bubble tip.
Yeah, right? So carpet anemones, they're really cool. they can tend to be more on the expensive side.
Yeah.
And you got to keep in mind, it's definitely doable in a reef tank, but you're just going to have to understand that they're going to take up a good portion of the tank over time. They get big. Like, I've seen them up to like a foot and a half diameter. Like
a dinner plate.
Quite large.
Yeah.
And I've seen lots of stories and Instagram posts about how people lose a purple tang or just some sort of fish to these anemones specifically. They're very sticky in my experience, especially once they're happy in a system. I mean, if you're like cleaning your tank and you bump into it, sometimes, you know, you get a little sting from it, but they're not too bad. They're pretty cool. And some really unique and bright colors. Most clownfish will host in these as well.
Yep.
But yeah, just keep in mind that I've definitely heard and seen a lot of fish get eaten by these, not clownfish, but you know, other like tangs and gobies and such. But yeah, they're super cool. Something different, especially if you don't want to be everyone with a bubble tip, you know, try something, you know, a little bit different. They're not the easiest to keep, but they're definitely not the hardest. I'd recommend, yeah, you know, making sure your tank's quite established before you add one of these, but most people do pretty well with these.
Yeah, and this is gotta make sure another anemone that likes to bury its foot in the sand.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So this guy's going to hang out on the sand bed.
Yep.
And like, if you have a fish who's just going through something, or maybe they're swimming slower or whatever, they bump up against it, like you're talking about, it gets stuck. Yeah, things going to pull it in. It's going to eat them.
Yeah.
So you just got to be cautious about that. I mean, if you're putting it into a tank where, I mean, of course we don't want anything to happen to any of our fish, but like, you're like solely set on your fish. Like, these are your fish you've had for years and years and years. Maybe this isn't the right anemone for that tank. If they're just ill or not swimming fast enough, or they bump it or touch it or get into it, this anemone is aggressive and is going to eat it.
Yep. Yeah, it's something definitely different.
But it's super cool. I love it.
Yeah.
I love carbonate. I've always wanted to keep one. I've just never pulled the trigger on it because I've had the green bubble tips for so long. But
yeah, if I ever keep one, I want to do like a, you know, a tank with some white light and get one of like the purples or the bright blue ones that look really good under white light that you can't really appreciate under blues.
Nice.
I think that'd be a really cool tank with some, like, a big harem of clownfish hanging out in it.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. And these guys, like, I'm sure with, well, majority of these anemones, except for maybe the smaller ones, but they're fun to feed. You get some silver side or some shrimp or something, and you can
definitely
just hand feed them. We'll use some tongs, you know, put your food down in there. But
yeah. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and jump into our little scientific segment for the day.
Sounds good. What do you got?
So this is the sunshine chromis, or chromis insulata. Now, this comes out of the Caribbean and the Atlantic. Not as common as most chromis that you're going to see in the hobby. In fact, these can be quite expensive, but they're super gorgeous, especially as juveniles, as you're looking at the picture here, if you're watching the YouTube version. Yeah, super cool, super unique. If you're looking for a specific fish endemic to the Caribbean that adds some color to your reef tank, definitely check these out. They're not commonly available really anymore as much as they used to be. But yeah, if you're looking for something different, something colorful, and maybe something that's not like a blue reef chromis, especially if you're going with a Caribbean tank or something, these would definitely be a cool addition, you know, to add to your endemic tank or even just your regular reef tank to, you know, add something different.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the oddball reefer and I like different stuff.
Yeah, that's true, man. You do. You definitely do. This guy is super colorful. I like the yellow and like the pinkish stripe there and the white. That's really cool. Yeah, that thing will pop. You can put a couple different color fish in your tank and do all kinds of colors, man. That's
absolutely
cool. So next up, we kind of want to shift gears, right? We're going to go talk about, I mean, not all anemones are loved, right? Not everyone loves all these anemones, because some of these anemones are considered pests and they are not good for your aquarium at all. And there's many different ways to get rid of these different pest anemones, but you're probably going to battle one or some of these at some point in your reefing journey. So let's go ahead and put some of these out here. What are we talking about? Pest anemones.
Yes. So this first one here is going to be Aptasia. You get one little one, and if you don't take care of it, I can almost guarantee you, you're going to end up with 100 within a few months. Like,
this is true.
They take over so fast that you really can't even keep up with them. So if you have a clean tank and you notice one pop up, drop what you're doing and take care of it. And there's a few different ways you can. Some people use like this laser technique that I've seen quite often, especially more recently. Some people use like, you know, there's a couple different like paste that you can put on them that they end up consuming that pretty much kills them from the inside out. And I've noticed that being some of the easiest way to get rid of them. I've seen people use super glue. I haven't been successful with that technique. Usually I'm using the Aptasia X or whatever. That tends to work pretty well for me.
There's another one called Joe's Juice out there that's been around for a while. But yeah, you just inject the Aptasia with it. Make sure you get it around the mouth area, and or you just cover it completely and the thing will like implode on itself.
And I've seen you can inject them with like kalkwasser too. I've seen some people do that. Kalkwasser.
Yep.
Get like a little needle or syringe and kind of jab them and just push out the kalkwasser, and I'm going to kind of rots them away pretty quick. Because the one thing you don't want to do is if they get stressed out, they'll actually release more eggs in your tank. So you definitely got to be careful with that. So if you're like just scrubbing at them, that's going to tick them off, and they're just going to release more gametes and stuff into the water to produce more over time. So just, I wouldn't recommend doing that. And I've even seen people go to the extreme of like taking a rock out of their tank for a few days and then putting it back in. And then somehow the Aptasias are still like there, like
they're multiple things, occasions. Yeah. And, so, and even if you keep like the cleanest tank and you're like, I quarantine everything, I do all my water changes, I scrape the glass, everything is perfectly pristine. You can still get these guys in your tank.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to make it through most of your dips because the dips don't really affect the corals and anemones as much as they do like the actual invertebrates and the like other pests that you're going to be dealing with.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean, even if you get like a little frag and you examine the frag plug really well, it could be so small that you don't even notice it when you first put it in their tank. But yeah, they get big quick and they reproduce very quickly. So yeah, take care of them as quickly as you can.
Yeah, because they multiply quick. But like we're talking about, there are ways to get rid of it. You have the products that you inject the stuff on them. You also have fish. Aptasia eating filefish will help eat them. I mean, copper bands will eat them too. It's a little more challenging of a fish for some to keep. But I mean, there's different ways to handle Aptasia. And if you handle it before it turns into like a huge problem, before you get hundreds of them, then maybe just using a product like Aptasia RX or something to get rid of it will help you eliminate it. But once you let it go, you're going to have to floor like all the different options to get rid of them.
Yep. Yeah. So like I said, if you notice it in your system, get rid of it. Just do what you need to do. Literally drop what you're doing and knock it out before you forget, because they reproduce overnight. You'll have one day and then four to the next day. Like, it's crazy.
Yep. That's right. And the next pest anemone is pretty similar.
Mahanos. Yeah. So these look similar to, you know, like a bubble tip anemone. Mm-hmm. And I've actually noticed, like, I've been to some people's reef tanks. And they're like, oh, look at all my baby bubble tips. And I'm like, those are not bubble tips. I see these come in a lot on Duncan colonies. And it's actually hard to tell the difference at first unless you look a little closer. But yeah, they're similar to Aptasias. There's just a different species. And anemone has a little bit of a different look to it. It does look similar to bubble tips, but be aware it is not a bubble tip. And for these specifically, they're definitely a little more challenging to kill than your regular Aptasia.
Yep.
I've had these before in the past, and I found the best way is specifically injecting them with kalkwasser. I've used like some of the Aptasias and stuff, but they always seem to, you know, just come back over a course of a couple days. So yeah, the kalkwasser with these specifically, I've noticed to be the best solution. I've never kept filefish with these. I'm not sure if the filefish would pick at them. I'm assuming they would.
Not 100% sure. I mean, I have seen people use the laser on these guys.
Okay.
But I don't know. I personally have never used the laser. How about you?
Yeah, I've never used it personally. I've just watched a couple of my buddies use them. They seem to work pretty well. But
yeah, the Mahano wand is what it's called.
Okay.
And it's like $160 or something like that. Could be cheaper now or more. I don't know. But
yeah, I mean, you got to look at that as an investment into keeping your reef tank pest free.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you could almost, like, if it's on a dead coral, then you just remove that dead coral from your tank and you're getting rid of all of them.
Absolutely.
But I don't know. There's Aptasia eating filefish. Maybe. I don't have any experience with them doing anything
either.
But yeah, similar to Aptasia, just a little bit trickier and they look a little bit different.
Yeah.
And then these guys, next up, pest and then talk about this.
So yeah, these you don't see as often in the hobby, but they can become a problem. I've had a problem with them before in my non-photosynthetic tank. These are non-photosynthetic anemones. They're little tiny ball anemones. I'm not entirely sure on the specific species of these guys, but I've had them hitchhike on like gorgonian stems and such before, and they take off quite rapidly, especially if you're feeding your tank quite frequently. But yeah, if you're struggling with these, you know, I'm recommending the same thing, you know, inject them with Kalikwasser. Some people even like these anemones and want them in their tanks. You know, I've seen some people want the ball anemones. But yeah, these, they're definitely not fun. They're not the easiest to kill either, because I spent a good month and a half trying to get rid of them in my previous NPS tank. But they're kind of cool looking, but they're no fun. They're stressful. They sting your corals, and they eat fish.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you have any smaller fish, they can definitely munch them down. But yeah, I mean, most hobbyists probably won't really deal with these, but it's just something if you're dealing with NPS corals or some corals that come from deeper waters and even like caves and crevices, you might run into a few of these. And if you do notice them, you know, maybe take care of them as quickly as you can, because they can spread pretty rapidly as well.
Yeah. And I would say for 98% of the hobby, you're going to deal with Apta. That's probably the most common. And we have a video on the Coral Reef Talk channel that talks all about Aptasia. I've even shared my battle and struggle with Aptasia and what I did about it on the channel too. So I'll link those up in the show notes below if you want to check out that journey and how to get rid of those. And there will be some similar advice in there as well to getting rid of Mahanos for sure. And then like these guys, like you're saying, you may never have to deal with them. But if you do see them pop up, this would be one thing you want to get rid of, especially, like you said, if you have smaller fish, because they can take them out.
Absolutely.
What types of anemones do you recommend? Which ones do you like? What are your favorite anemones that we talked about today?
I would say bubble tips and sea bays and rock flowers. Those are my top three.
All right. Nice. My top number one is bubble tip anemone. It's probably the easiest to keep, to have success with. I've been keeping them for years and years and years. And then rock flower anemone is pretty cool. So we'll do bubble tip anemone, rock flower, and carpet anemones. Just because I've never kept a carpet anemone before, but one day I'll throw one in.
There you go.
But all right. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for listening and watching wherever you listen to podcast. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. And if you have any questions about the anemones that we talked about, or even the pest anemones, go ahead and let us know in the comment section below. Thank you so much for watching, liking, commenting, and subscribing. And we will see you next time on the Coral Reef Talk.
See ya.